Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Give me a lever long enough and a prop strong enough, I can single-handedly move the world. Archimedes. There is nothing training cannot do. Nothing is above its reach. It can turn bad morals into good. It can destroy bad principles and recreate good ones. It can lift men to angelship. Mark Twain.
I got a question for you. How many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is simple, only one. But it's very expensive, it takes a long time, and the light bulb has to want to change. This is just a joke, but it illustrates a myth in our culture that says change takes a long time, that it's a terrific struggle, and that it can be incredibly costly in many ways, emotionally, physically, financially. I'm here to tell you that's garbage. See, I'm here to tell you that you can change anything about your life instantly with the right technology, the right strategy, and I'm gonna give you that strategy right now. But first, I want you to think about something. Every change you've ever made in your life actually happened in a moment, didn't it? What took time was getting yourself to the point where you finally did what was ever necessary to make it happen. Now, let me share with you my science of neuroassociative conditioning, or NAC as we call it for short. Sometimes we even call it NAC. NAC is a step-by-step process that can help you to condition your nervous system to associate massive pleasure with the things you want so that you continuously do whatever it takes to move towards them. And it also will show you how to link pain with those things that you need to avoid doing in order to really succeed consistently throughout your entire life. It'll also free you from having to constantly use effort and willpower because it will empower you to allow your unconscious mind to take over. So you're on automatic pilot because you've been conditioned to succeed. Remember, it's the feelings that we've been conditioned to associate in our nervous systems, again, our neuroassociations, that determine our real feelings and behavior. When we take control of our neuroassociations, we take control of our lives. With NAC, you can condition those neuroassociations so that you're empowered to take action and produce results consistently. NAC is designed to create consistent and lasting change. What are the two changes that everyone wants in their life? Isn't it true that we all want to change either how we feel about things or our behaviors? I mean, if you've been through a tragedy, you've lost a loved one, you've been raped, you're lacking self-esteem, you'll remain in pain until the sensations you link to yourself or to those events or to those situations are changed. That is until you change how you feel about them. See, if you overeat, if you drink too much, if you smoke or take drugs, then you have a set of behaviors that must change. The only way this can happen is by linking pain to those old behaviors and pleasure to the new ones. Well, there I go again. I've said it again. I know it sounds so simple, but what I've really found is that in order for us to be able to create true change, change that lasts, we need to develop a specific system for utilizing any kind of technique that we might learn to create change. And you know what? There are many. Every day I'm picking up new skills and new technologies from a variety of sciences, but I always come back to the same six fundamental steps that the science of NAC, neuroassociative conditioning, puts forth. I created NAC as a way to use any technology for change. Anything you've ever learned, you'll be able to apply within this system. So what NAC really provides is a specific syntax. That is an order and sequence of ways of using anything you've learned to create long-term, effective, and constant change. And by the way, the word syntax sometimes hooks people. Syntax can be used in the form of language. If I say to you, the dog bit Johnny, or Johnny bit the dog, I use the same exact tool, same words, but I change the order and sequence or the syntax, and it's a very different experience, especially if you're Johnny. Now, to make syntax most effective, there are two shifts in beliefs that you may have to make within yourself. The first belief we must have if we're going to create change quickly is that we can change right now. Now, there is a challenge, and that is our cultural programming teaches us that changing significant problems quickly, that's impossible. That to change quickly means we never even had the problem at all. But in fact, it's not change itself that takes time. Remember, it's getting ready to change that takes time. The change itself occurs in an instant. Why not make that instant right now? See, it's up to you and I to get ourselves ready to change, and we can do it immediately. We don't have to wait. And a second belief that you and I must have if we're going to really create long-term change is that we're responsible for our own change, not anyone else. We've got to see ourselves as the source and the agent of change. If we don't, we'll always be looking for someone else to make the change for us, and we'll always have someone else to blame when it doesn't work out. Now, with these two beliefs in mind, I'm now going to give you the 6 master steps to change that are the basis of NAC, neuroassociative conditioning. These 6 steps will show you how to create a direct highway out of pain and into pleasure with no disempowering detours. I challenge you to choose something you really want to change in your life right now, so that as we go through these steps, you can take action and follow through with each of the steps, so you can really produce actions and results because you've listened to them. So let's begin. Here are the 6 master steps of NAC. Step 1 is simply this: decide, what do you really want, and what's preventing you from having it now? See, when I do private counseling with people, I often ask people what they really want out of their life, or they're telling me a problem, I ask them what they want instead. And an amazing number of these people will spend 15 minutes telling me what they don't want. See, remember, you get whatever you focus on in life. If you keep focusing on what you don't want, you'll just get more of it. Change that focus. Decide what you do want. The more specific you can be about it, the more clarity you'll have and the more power you'll command to achieve what you want more rapidly. At the same time, we need to learn what's preventing us from having what we do want. These are the disempowering beliefs reviewed a few minutes ago. And again, I keep saying it again and again because I don't want you to forget it. Invariably, what's preventing us from making the changes is that we link more pain to making the change than staying where we are. If you're really going to change, then you've got to change these associations. You've got to knock the supports out from under these disempowering beliefs and use that list of doubt-creating questions I just gave you to be able to weaken them. Let's go to step 2. Step 2 always is get leverage. Get leverage on yourself. Get yourself to associate massive pain to not changing now and massive pleasure with the experience of changing right now. See, change is not a question of capability. It's a question of motivation. If someone put a gun to your head and said, you better get out of that depressed state and start feeling happy now, I'll bet you could find a way to change your emotional state for the moment, couldn't you? But the problem for most of us, most of the time, is that change doesn't feel like it's a must. It feels like something we should do, something that we ought to do, we'd like to do someday, not something we absolutely must do right now without waiting another second. And that's the problem. See, the only way we're going to make a change now is if we create a sense of urgency that's so intense that we're compelled to follow through right now, in this moment. If we want to create change, then we have to realize that it's not a question of whether we can do it, it's a question of whether we will do it. See, whether we will do it comes down to a matter of motivation. Down once again to those twin pillars that shape our lives, pain and pleasure. To get true leverage, ask yourself pain-inducing questions. Questions like, what will this cost me if I don't change? What will I miss out in my life if I don't make this shift now? What's it already costing me mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially, and spiritually in my life? See, the key here is make the pain of not changing so real, so intense, that you can't put off taking action any longer. Then, start using pleasure-associating questions to help you link those positive feelings to the idea of changing so you really want it. Ask questions like, if I do change, how will that make me feel about myself? What kind of momentum could I create if I change this in my life right now? What other things could I accomplish if I really made this change today? How will my family and friends feel? How much happier will I be? See, the key is to get lots of reasons, or better yet, strong enough reasons to change what you're doing right now immediately, not someday in the future. If you're not driven to make the change now, then you don't have enough leverage. It's that simple. And by the way, I hope right now as you're listening to me, you're doing this with a change you want to make. You can stop this tape at each step if you'd like. Have you decided what you really want to change? What do you really want in your life? Have you figured out what's been preventing you? And have you made it painful enough you must change and pleasurable enough that you must change because you want to? If so, then let's move on to the next step. Because now what you've done so far is you've linked pain in your nervous system to not changing and pleasure to making the change. So now you're ready for the third step. Step 3 is interrupt the limiting pattern. See, in order to get new results in our lives, it's not enough to just know what we want and get leverage on ourselves. You see, we can be highly motivated to change, but if we keep doing the same things, running the same inappropriate, disempowering patterns, our lives are not going to change, and all we're going to experience is more pain, more frustration. One of the best ways to interrupt your own pattern, or somebody else's for that matter, is to do something that a person doesn't expect. Things that are radically different than they've experienced before, or do this to yourself. For example, when I did private therapy with people, people would come in to see me and they'd sit down in my office and they'd start to say, my problem is, and then they'd start to burst into tears out of control. I would suddenly stand up and shout, excuse me, and I would just jolt them. And I'd follow up with, we haven't started yet. Usually they responded with disbelief and they'd say, oh, I'm so sorry. And they'd immediately regain control, which proved that they already knew how to change the way they feel. Think of some of the ways that you can interrupt your own patterns. Do you need to do something differently? Some weird action? Would a word, some weird new word, break your pattern? Would a change of scenery, a silly laugh, a disgusting noise? Take a moment and think up some of the most enjoyable and disruptive ways you can interrupt your limiting and destructive patterns. Those patterns of being frustrated or worried or overwhelmed, for example. See, next time you start to feel depressed, jump up, look at the sky, and yell in your most idiotic tone of voice, hallelujah, my feet don't stink today. See, a stupid, silly move like this will definitely shift your attention, change your state, and it'll definitely change the states of anyone around you. They'll realize that you're no longer depressed, you're just crazy. Another way to break patterns is by scrambling the sensations that we link to our memories. For example, if your boss yells at you and you mentally rerun the experience the rest of the day, picturing him or her yelling at you over and over again, then you're going to feel progressively worse. So why let the experience continue to affect you? Try this. See that same situation in your mind that was bothering you so much. Picture it as if it was a movie. Don't feel upset about it. Just watch it one time, seeing everything that happened. Then take that movie and turn it into a cartoon. Sit up in your chair with a big silly grin on your face, breathe deeply, and run the image backwards as fast as you can so that everything happens in reverse. If the scene is your boss yelling, watch him swallow his words, for example. Then run through the cartoon forward again in fast motion. Change the colors of the images so everybody's face is rainbow colored. Grow big Mickey Mouse ears on your boss's head and a big long Pinocchio nose. Do this at least a dozen times back and forth, sideways, scrambling the image in your mind. Create some goofy music to go along with it. The speed of this whole process is also real important. You want to create impact on yourself. A lot of crazy, intense humor that'll break your pattern of negative, disempowering emotions. Why don't you stop right now and try this? Again, close your eyes, see something that's bothering you, run it backwards as fast as you can. Change the images, change the colors, change the sounds. Now, if you do this back and forth several dozen times, or at least a dozen times, you'll discover that if you've done it effectively, you've easily broken the pattern so that now when you try and think of that situation, it's virtually impossible to get back those negative feelings. It's the equivalent of taking a record and taking a needle and scratching across it back and forth, back and forth. It'll never play the same way again. Now, this technique works with things that have been bothering you for years. It sounds so ridiculous, but test it and you'll see it does, in fact, produce results. It's often a much more effective approach than trying to analyze the whys and the wherefores of a situation. Because after all, that doesn't change the sensations that you link about something in your body. The reason the scrambling technique works is that all of our feelings are based on the images that we focus on in our minds and the sensations we link to those images and sounds. As we change the images, we change how we feel. Conditioning this again and again makes it increasingly difficult to get back into that old pattern. Now, once you've broken that pattern that's been holding you back, you'll have the open space for the next step. Step 4, create a new empowering alternative. This fourth step is absolutely critical to establishing a long-term change, not a short-term change. In fact, the failure by most people to find an alternative way of getting out of pain and into the feelings of pleasure is probably the major reason why most people's changes are only temporary. Many people get to the point where they have to change, where change is a must, because they link so much pain to the old pattern, they link so much pleasure to the idea of changing. They even interrupt their old pattern. But after that, they have nothing to replace the old pattern. Remember, all of your neurological patterns are designed to help you to get out of pain and into pleasure. So once you quit smoking, for example, you need to come up with a new way, preferably a lot of new ways, to relax or to manage your stress or to provide whatever benefits you used to get when you smoked. See, if your old behavior was excessive worry, what new behavior can you replace it with? How about massive action and a plan you have for meeting your ultimate goals? Or maybe you can replace depression with a focus on how to help others who are in need. And this may help you. If you're not sure how to get yourself out of pain and to feel pleasure as the replacement for your old smoking, drinking, worrying, or whatever undesirable emotion or behavior was, you can find the answer by modeling people who've turned things around for themselves. Find people who've made lasting changes. I guarantee you'll find out that they had alternatives to replace their old behavior. These first four steps create real change. But for how long? What if you stop smoking for a year or even two, but then you find yourself taking up cigarettes again? What if you lose 40, 80, or 100 pounds, but then gain it all back again? To prevent backsliding, to be sure that change is lasting change, you need to take the next step in neuroassociative conditioning. Step 5, condition the new pattern until it's consistent. See, conditioning is the way to make sure that a change you create lasts long term. The simplest way to condition something is just to rehearse it. Imagine yourself doing your new empowering behavior repeatedly until you can clearly see that it will get you out of pain and into pleasure quickly, and until it feels good to you. This is critical, because if you don't do this, you'll probably go back to your old pattern. You've got to rehearse your new alternative again and again with tremendous emotional intensity. Your brain will then literally carve out a new pathway, and with conditioned repetition, that pathway will become a highway to this new way of achieving results. You and I can't overestimate the power of conditioning. I read recently that Larry Bird was doing a soft drink commercial in which he was supposed to miss a jump shot, and he made 9 baskets in a row before he could get himself to miss. That's how strongly he's conditioned himself over the years. When the ball hits his hands, he automatically goes through a pattern that's designed to put it through the hoop. And here's a critical distinction. Don't just condition yourself initially. Set yourself up with a schedule to reinforce your new behavior. What can you give yourself, for example, for succeeding? Don't wait until you've gone a month or a year without smoking. When you've gone a day, give yourself a reward. Link pleasure to this new behavior so it stays reinforced and it becomes consistent. Don't wait until you've lost 80 pounds. Don't even wait until you've lost a pound. The minute you push the plate away with food still on it, give yourself a pat on the back. Do something that'll make yourself feel good for this action. See, the key here is to set up a series of short-term goals or milestones, and as you reach each one, immediately reward yourself. Don't wait. Make these rewards immediate. It's very important to link the sensations of pleasure with a pattern that you want and that's occurring currently. Remember that you're not making an intellectual connection. You're making an emotional one, a neurological one. You want to give your brain new associations on a very basic instinctual level. You want your nervous system to link great pleasure to this new change. Once you've accomplished these 5 steps, you've created a new pattern. The final step is to make sure it works. Step 6, test the new pattern for ecology and effectiveness. Your new pattern, this new approach to creating change, will need to fit into a variety of environments. The question you got to start to ask yourself is, does it really work in your business relationships? If you make this change, will that negatively affect your business or will it continue to be strong? How does it affect your personal life? Does it really accomplish what you wanted originally when you were looking to make the change? Remember that as destructive as they may have been, your old behaviors were providing you with some sort of positive impact. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been doing them. You see, your new behavior has to preserve those benefits and maybe even improve on them. Maybe the benefit was the ability to get pleasure, or the ability to produce a result, or the ability to communicate your needs, or to know that people really cared about you. And now you need to make certain your new pattern achieves these same goals, but does so in a more empowering way than crying or feeling sorry for yourself or being depressed, for example. So first, make sure that your new behavior fits into your core beliefs and values. Make sure it's in alignment with who you believe you are. Second, test to make sure these new strategies are firmly installed and working in concert. Run what I call an ecology check on your pattern. You can do it with 5 simple questions. 1, make certain that pain is fully associated with the old pattern. Ask yourself, when I think of the old behavior I used to do or the old feelings I used to indulge in, do I picture and feel things that are painful now instead of pleasurable? Do I see that as something that's unacceptable? If so, you're on the right first track. 2, notice and make certain that you've linked pleasure to the new pattern. Ask yourself, when I think about my new behavior or these new feelings that I focus on, do I picture and feel things that are pleasurable to me now instead of painful? Then step 3 of your ecology checks, make sure that you have aligned the new pattern with your values, beliefs, and rules. Ask yourself, is this new behavior or this new feeling that I'm going to consistently use, is it consistent with my values? Is it consistent with my beliefs about how I need to be as a person? Checkpoint 4, make sure the benefits of the old pattern have been maintained. Again, ask yourself, will this new behavior or this new feeling that I'm using still allow me to get the original benefits, the original pleasure that I got from my old pattern? And finally, checkpoint 5, make sure that the change will be long-term and that your conditioning has been effective. Imagine the thing that would have triggered you to adopt the old pattern, to feel bad, to overreact, or to smoke or drink or whatever. And notice now, do you feel certain that you'll use the new pattern instead of the old one? If you do, your ecology check is complete, and you can be certain the pattern will support you from now on.
You've now learned techniques for making decisions that will shape your life, for taking control of the belief structure that determines how you feel and act, and for creating real and lasting change. Now, Anthony Robbins will take you on the final leg of this journey, the creation of your future, your magnificent obsession.